Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We are a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, in quarantine, we talk to good friends and great comedians about love, romance, and everything in between.
You still can't say it without laughing ever since I shaded the title.
It's so the tagline. Fucking dumb. And listeners, we know you're, we look at the stats. There are many of you. One of you, please. I'm begging. I'm on my knees. All right. If Naomi and I had more time, if we were more inspired, we would come up with something better. What is this show about in quarantine? We talk to We do talk to good friends of ours and also great comedians who may not be our friends.
Right.
Also,
some people not comedians.
Yeah. True.
So, you know. And we answer questions, but we talk about life. Question. I mean, look, honestly, you're about to listen to it. So what are we sitting here unpacking it? The fact is you've already.
Because I'm a neurotic Jew, Naomi.
I know that. No, I'm fully aware of that.
Because everything has to be unpacked.
You already heard the dulcet tones of today's guest. We have the one, the only, Margaret Cho.
O-M-G. Naomi, when I was a wee teen.
A wee teen.
A wee teen.
A preteen and a wee teen.
A wee teen back in Scotland. I first became a fan of Margaret's watching her show, All American Girl.
Yes. I remember her HBO. It was her HBO half hour where I was like, what? That's how I learned like what comedy was.
Yeah.
But
of course, you dear, gentle listener, sweet listener, kind listener, you might know her from many other things. 30 Rock, High Maintenance, Law and Order. She was on the episode of Law and Order.
Miracle Workers. Also, her podcast, The Margaret Cho.
Yeah.
Which I am on an upcoming episode of. But she has wonderful guests, so you should listen and download that after you listen to this episode, don't you think?
Yeah, this was one of those ones. Naomi, you had like a thing like right afterwards. I would have talked to her for another hour or two.
Me too. I feel like at the end we were getting into stuff and I was like, ugh, I have to go. I was like so bad. But you know what? Maybe that just means we do a two-parter. Maybe we bring Margaret back and be like, you know what? I got some more questions.
I can't believe there are that in quarantine, there are like time limits.
I know. It's pretty upsetting. It's pretty upsetting when it's like, I don't know. We've been a little busier than we should be in quarantine, I feel. I really thought that, granted, we're 6 months in and at some point you do have to go back to living. But at the same time, I'm like, everything should just be going at half speed as far as I'm concerned. Everything, like,
yes.
Only essential activities, only essential items,
yes.
You know, keeping it very, very simple.
Yes, life should have been like, you know, one of the runes in Zelda Breath of the Wild is the stasis rune, and it freezes time for an object. That's what the quarantine...
Andy, did you just get a Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, it's been therapeutic. Honestly, it's better than therapy.
I like the music of Zelda. I find it very calming, and I wish I could use it to fall asleep. Because sometimes you're playing, and it's just like that nice little flutter, a touch of strings, and I go, Now that's calming.
So are you an ASMR lady?
No. Don't whisper. Don't chew. Don't play with slime. I just like a delicate music. I just like a delicate tinkly song.
So you're not a slime kid either.
I'm not a slime kid. No.
Oh, boy. We just joined TikTok.
I'm not on it. I refuse to engage.
Well, you signed up to protect your name.
I signed up to protect my identity.
Someone was posting stand-up of Naomi's. And so she had to. And then I was looking at it and I found out you could put like indie rock songs over things. So I just post videos of the cats with indie rock songs over them.
Honestly, Andy's thriving. But so much of TikTok, you know, there's so much slime.
The slime kids are everywhere.
So much slime that it's like, well, all right. Well,
anyway, let's do a slight bit of housekeeping and then get to Margaret.
Yes.
Naomi.
Yes.
One of the things that we do every week is our Twitch show.
Yes, we do. Every Wednesday at 2 p.m. PST, it's me and Andy, sometimes me and Andy and funny friends, but it's always a good time. Henny, it's a beautiful hour. Come join the Couples Therapy Quarantine crew. Honestly, we started calling it group, okay? Let's connect. Let's be friends. Let's have laughs. Let's try to forget about the darkness for an hour. So that's at twitch.tv/couplestherapypod. You heard it here. You heard it here.
You heard it here? No need to fear.
And of course, with Margaret, we're answering people's advice, questions, and you know what we love? Your questions. So if you want to ask us about anything, it doesn't have to be about love, it doesn't have to be about romance, any old thing that we can get into with our guests, hit us up on the socials, on Instagram, on Twitter. We love a DM. Send an email to couplestherapypod@gmail.com. But the best is to call in. What's that number they could dial in, Andy?
323-524-7839.
Girl,
call us about anything. Have a weird phobia? I don't know if we can actually solve that, but we'll talk about it.
Thank you for that example.
I said it, and as I was saying, I'm like, that's not a great example. We're not going to solve anyone's phobias. I think you have to, what do you do to solve a phobia?
Immersion therapy.
Exposure therapy.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We're not going to help you.
Well,
but other questions.
Any question that's not a phobia, we will answer with our guests. So hit us up. 323-524-7839. Now, you know what? I'm ready to get to Margaret because Andy off the rails.
Roll it.
Margaret's here.
Wonderful.
Margaret's here.
Here we are. All of us. Six months in to a pandemic. All of us on the edge of sanity, holding it together. That is, I'm projecting that onto you. I'm just assuming that you are like us.
It's hard. Well, I'm a lot like you in that I do only go out when I absolutely have to, and I fill the entire cart full to the top, and it's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't have an excuse for all of this food.
Yes, you do.
No, yes, wait. You don't need one. I was about to say, you don't need one. We fill two carts to the brim. We each have a cart, so.
Right.
Again, you are the mirror image of us. You are.
Well, no, but you're also, again, you're only going out like once a month. Mm-hmm. That is a month's worth of food.
Right.
And that's what it looks like.
It looks like, and I actually, you know, but I, and then I go to a couple of different markets because I do go to like, I, you know, the Harmony Farms for my own game. And then I go to the Korean market. I go to a few different places. But it's definitely like I try to go out as little as I can. And then to the big market, whether it's the TJ's or the Sprouts or whatever, I'm really, that makes me the most anxious because it's the people that just, they're like, acting like there's no pandemic right. or something.
Right. Yes. Right. It's crazy. Right. This is what I say when it comes to full carts. Kurt Cobain was all apologies. I say we are no apologies.
There it is. There it is. No apologies. But like people trying to touch your dog is very problematic in a pandemic. Yeah. If we weren't in a pandemic, but especially in a pandemic, it's like, don't put your grubby little Coco hands on my dog.
Coco no. hands?
Yeah. Corona yeah. hands. Your corona hand. Oh,
but she is really cute, and she also reaches with her cute little face and neck, long neck.
Mm-hmm.
She has like a long, like a giraffe neck.
Yes, delicate.
She's built like a giraffe, but she's only like 3 pounds, so she's like almost all neck. And so she reaches her long dog neck and body out of her bag, but so it's, I can see why it's appealing.
Yeah,
but
right.
you know, it's always like, you know, it's always hard because she's really cute and she loves people, but it's hard because she never gets to see anybody. it's just me.
Mm. But it's so funny, by the way. Also, like, I imagine like you going through the registry at whatever shelter you got her from, and like just the comments are just like all neck, mostly neck,
all neck, mostly neck, almost all neck. She was like, she looks like if you like rolled her out, she looks like, you know, kind of just all like neck. She's like all like rolled out dough. She's kind of a baguette.
Yeah, uh-huh. A baguette. Or like before you roll a pretzel, before you actually make the pretzel shape, if you're making homemade pretzels.
Yeah.
Not that I've
I just want to like,
homemade.
Like I want to like brush her in an egg wash.
Yes. Oh my God. Give her a little crispy, a little brown coating.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But here's the thing though, Margaret. I told you that that time I saw you out on the street and how like I saw Lucia, the dog, before I even saw you. Cause you had that dog in the cutest coat. Don't be dressing that dog up cute and then be mad when people touch her. Cause if you put her in an outfit, I'm coming for her.
She's so cute. She has also her older sister who has passed on, Gudrun, had a lot of outfits from like she because her older sister would get outfits whenever there was like a movie. Like she had an outfit when the Memoirs of a Geisha came out, so she mm-hmm. had a full Japanese kimono. And she also had an outfit from the first Mulan. So all those like the Cheongsam, all those outfits fit. So she still has outfits from like all those like old movies, so she's gonna wear those later. So later there'll be like dog fashions to come.
Oh, thank
I love
God.
The idea of there being dog clothing based on like Merchant Ivory films or like like the Howard's End collection of
oh,
like
yes.
dog clothing.
Titanic, dog Titanic.
Yes,
and all of the like, but mine are all sort of Asian themes. So now she has like dog clothes from The Ring and The Grudge.
Okay,
so she's like got a lot of like she hates that she but she really hates the Japanese like schoolgirl look. And then the other dog was a little bit chubbier, so it's all hangs on her,
yeah.
And she's all neck, and the other dog was all kind of belly and shoulders, so it's all kind of like. Hangs on her, so she just doesn't really. It doesn't really fit her yet.
So J horror, but not anime. That's her
yeah.
style.
It's more J horror, but I mean, maybe she'll move into a more of an anime phase. I hope she wears more. I hope she gets into anime. She's just not old enough yet.
Yes. She yeah. has to take time to discover. I mean, I didn't discover it until 34. So I mean,
this yes. is an look. I'm an anti-capitalist, but this is an untapped market where you have niche clothing, like indie film
yes.
clothing, like
yes.
Hal Hartley clothing for
right.
dogs,
yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
like
oh,
anime
yes.
clothing for dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm with you on that.
Yes.
I very much am.
Wait, hold on a second. I mean, wait, sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
mean to give a,
I
didn't
I
mean
like,
to give a plug to an NPR show. Is that what it's called? Wait,
yeah.
don't tell me.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, it's called it. Wait, hold on a second.
No, because we're going to answer some listener advice questions.
Okay,
just to get a kind of picture, because a lot of them are relationship questions. I want to ask you a little bit about your own relationship history a bit.
Okay.
Or not the specifics of it, but like, because I was thinking about this, because like you've been in the public eye for decades, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so your love life has also been in the public eye for decades. And I have to imagine that's weird. It's weird enough for Naomi and myself, and we're not really in the public eye.
Well, it's like, it's like mine is not really either. I mean, it is really only to a certain extent. I mean, people don't really know. Nobody really knows. And it's kind of like also most of my life is pretty hidden. You know, nobody really knows. I've never had that uncomfortable level of fame where people really pry. So that's good. You know, it's always a comfortable level where it doesn't really affect anything.
But not even like for like people meeting you and what they think you're going to be. You know what I mean? Like dating. Like, you know, when someone like reaches out, do you have to take a beat and be like, are you into me or are you into like the idea?
Oh, like the public, like your comedic persona, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no, never really. I mean, usually it's like people go, oh, have I met you before? Like people kind of like don't really know. They're like, do we meet before? Like, you know, have I seen you before? Like, they think that they may have met me before at some point, or they may have met a friend of mine, or something like that. They're like, do I know you from somewhere? But they don't really know. Mm-hmm. It's never been an issue like that.
That's
it's not
good.
Weird. Unless it's a comic, where then it's like a thing. But then I haven't gone out with a comic. Well, the last, person that I went out with before the person I'm dating now was a comic, but then that was you know, it's not a thing. Like, but before that I hadn't gone out with a comic for probably about 15 or 20 years.
Yes
Yeah. And then you only have to worry about the Chuckle Express writing an article about whatever it does. But like I think, because there is, if you look you up on Google, there is information about your love life in a way that I would find intrusive if someone wrote about us that way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess so.
But you don't Google yourself. Yeah.
You're not. But I guess that's what I was curious about. Like, it never affected you, or did you have to like kind of learn to ignore it?
Oh yeah, I never looked at it, so I don't really know. I never think about it. I guess because a lot of it is probably not true, or a lot of it's kind of like, oh, it's just speculation, or I'm not really sure. And then a lot of it's stuff that's happened a long, long time ago. Like, they're only if I've dated somebody that was like super famous too, or maybe more famous than me, then it's like kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Then I think, I used to go out with Chris Isaac a really long time ago in the 90s. And
you did? That smooth, buttery voice?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's
okay.
Lovely.
Yeah. So that was a time.
That was a really long time ago. And he was so much more famous than me at the time. And it was hard because he was very private about his life. And I wanted to talk about him in my comedy.
Of course.
And he would get really upset. Because he was like, you know, you can't do that because it's like, you know, you know, like I'm like really sensitive about that. And I was like, I didn't understand why he would be, because nobody knew who I was. Like, why would anybody care? And, but he was like really sensitive about it. Mm-hmm. So that became a whole arguing thing between us.
Yeah.
So that was a weird thing, because I'm like, why does he even care? Like, this open micers doing shit jokes about him, you know, whatever. But so that was the only time where I thought it was weird. And then Quentin Tarantino I went out with, but that was different because he was so famous that it freaked me out,
really,
because you'd never seen anybody like I've never seen anybody get the most royal treatment,
really,
like the most privileged of anybody I've ever seen. Anybody, like 90s Hollywood, just, it was like being, I can't compare it to anything, but the way that doors would just fall open and people would just fall all over him, you know, like at the, this was like at the right after Pulp Fiction was opening. Award season, Pulp Fiction. That's when we were together.
Oh, my
so
God.
So that the privilege and pomp and circumstance around that was just unbelievable. So you could see how the celebrant of that kind of applause was just... it's hard because it didn't actually go to his head because he's just sort of was this very kind of normal guy. But, you know, he was just excited because he got to buy all the movies at his old video store that he worked at.
I totally know what you mean. Like, honestly, on the micro level, like when Andy and I, since moving here, we've gone to a couple of like cool parties, you know what I mean? Or like premieres where we're literally like, and we literally look at each other at one point where we go, what are we doing here? Or like, this really happens for people. So as you said, like when you're seeing, like you're there, so you're getting it too, but like you're seeing it all kind of directed towards like 6 inches to your right. And like what it is to be so close to it, but also like kind of bird's eye view. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird like how many like people would invite us to do things and inviting both of us. And I'm like, you're not really inviting me. I'm like, don't act like you want me to come. Like, you know, like just, you know, people like inviting us to their like villa in Italy. I'm like, don't act like you want me to come to Positano. Like, I'm invited.
If
I showed up there, you would let me in. Don't act like that's like that. Like me too. Like, no.
I identify with this. It's interesting, though, that both of you, like, it seems like both Margaret, you and Naomi are either like okay with, because Naomi, you said that like, oh, we're at these like parties or premieres. Not that we go to them very often.
I know.
But like the twice a year maybe at most that we're at something. But like you're like, oh, we look around and we see like famous people and it's like, oh my God. And I'm like, but yeah, but like you are at least in that echelon. You are like at least, and the same thing with you, Margaret. You guys are both at least like peers in some way, right? But you both seem like either even keeled or you both seem self-deprecating in some way where you're like, oh, but I'm not part of that. Like I get the like maybe not like part of the like villa in Tuscany or whatever, but I do think that's interesting that both of you are a little more like down to earth.
Well, it's like we're in comedy and we're like the people that are in comedy often are like we're kind of like these people that are like we're always going to be around and we're always going to be the sort of observers, I think. And in sort of like that thing of like just almost like the kind of like the watchers almost of all of this kind of go down. But the thing is that we'll always be there. Yeah. Will always be present during all of this, which I think is really interesting. You know, sometimes those people in the middle kind of fall in and out of favor.
Yeah.
As you'll see, like, time go by because nobody can really sustain those positions. And you see, like, people kind of, like, come in and out and, like, they can't sustain it. They really burn out. Even Quentin couldn't. Like, he's like, I've made my last movie. Like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. And you could see like that can be an exhausting position to be in when people just celebrate you so much and then you become the sort of icon of a period and then you just can't do it.
Yeah. Well, it's also like it's interesting. It's not when we go to parties, it's less even the famous people, even though sometimes that can happen, but more like just, oh, this is how wealthy, famous people party. Like when we go into spaces where I'm like, oh, like. There's just food everywhere. Or like we went to something where there was like a weed concierge and it was like a whole thing where I was like, that's like a whole nother thing. But I find like when faced with like an actual celebrity, there is something about being a comic that makes me feel not their peer, but almost like I'm not afraid of you because I get up in front of people who hate me all the time. You're luck. Like you have a level of fame that is so much about luck. Because there's a difference between working and fame, right? Like, a lot of people working. But fame is like, You just got lucky. Somebody just like picked you that day.
Right.
You know?
Well, comedians are necessary. That's the thing, is that that's why we're always going to be there. Comedians are actually really important to the structure of it. And they support the network of fame. Fame is kind of like this up and down thing that it's going to constantly require new energy and new purpose. And mm-hmm. yet comedians are always sort of like this even keel thing that's always going to be part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes comedians get famous too, but even their fame wanes and grows and goes up and down.
Yeah,
but it's like we're a constant need of, there's so many people that need to be funny all the time that we're always going to be there.
Right. Well, maybe that's why, I mean, I'll throw this out there. You tell me if this resonates at all. But, like, maybe that's why, like, all this stuff in terms of, like, your love life, you're just like, eh, it's like water off a duck's back in that sense.
Yeah, because it's, like, so, like, you know, to me, it's always sort of like, you know, whatever people say, it doesn't really reflect the real truth of what's happening. And it's also never really affected what's happened between me and the person. Mm-hmm. Except for what, you know, me and Chris Isaac, which was never really that intensive a relationship anyway. Also, because I was so young, and it was such an imbalanced thing, because I was just so in awe that I was like with this like rock star. He was such a big rock star, because this was like in 1988.
Did you just meet him at a show? Like, how do you meet a big rock star?
We met at the MTV video. Music Awards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In 88, actually, Pat Smear introduced us from the Foo Fighters. He was actually in Nirvana then.
Yeah. Okay.
That was they brought on another guitarist.
Yes.
During the In Utero years. Okay. I have to translate for Naomi.
He does have to explain. I'm like, I know what Nirvana is. I know what Foo Fighters is.
He used to be
in
the Germs.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's our old friend, and he's great. He actually lives in my neighborhood, but he was like this sort of like guy in Hollywood that we all used to hang around. And so I would always see him in Hollywood, and like him and Kim Deal, I would always see him in the car at Fred Siegel, and him and Kim Deal would be sitting in the back seat, like trying to get me to come in their car. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? You're acting super weird. And I'm like, what are you? They're like, come on, come here. And I'm like, no. And I really wish I went in the car with them. I really regret that.
I know. Why didn't you? I think
I don't know why.
Being a free spirit, like meaning like you're like down to like have an experience, like being like, sure, where are we going? We going to another state?
I'm not sure. I think they were just probably, you know, going to go to Erewhon. But I should have just gone with them.
Oh, my God.
I get that kind of, here's the thing. By the way, Naomi, Kim Deal, who was the Breeders and...
Andy. We've been together a decade.
She was the bassist and singer in the Pixies.
He is so rude. But, like, literally, I only know because we've been together a decade. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was not into that style of music at all.
No, but you are... Because, look, again, I don't know if this is just, like, a recent thing, but, again, you are someone who plans things, right? Mm-hmm. So someone just beckoning you, I would say in a sinister manner, the way that you described it. Beckoning
They're
you
in
a sinister manner.
Yeah.
Who's in the front seat? What is this, a taxi?
No, they're in the back seat of a convertible with the top up, a very expensive, like some kind of weird convertible, like vintage car in the back seat. And then like in the, I don't know who's driving, maybe an Arquette of some stripe. And they're like in the back, and they're like, you know, and I can hear the corduroy rubbing on their legs, and they're like, you know, and they're like the 90s. It was the 90s, probably 96. Yeah. And their hair is like really like just the shag is like, you know, perfect tendrils coming down. And they're like, just come back here, come back here. And I'm like, no, but I'm sure it was like, let's go to Erewhon, which is I could have walked, but they couldn't because obviously they had like clogs on and like corduroy, so
clogs
they couldn't make
corduroy.
It.
See, for me, if that ever happened to me, if there was, I would just be too insecure. I'd be like, why do you want me to come into your car?
Really?
Yeah, I would just be like the closest that I've gone to something even resembling that here in Los Angeles. I was walking, we were walking Mabel, and Tom Sharpling from The Best Show was in a car at the stoplight, and I was wearing a Best Show t-shirt, and he like looked at me, and I looked at him. I didn't know he was out here.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, why is, what? And it was like, it confused me. And he like looked, and like we like made eye contact, and he was pointing, and I was like, and I smiled, and I moved quicker to get away from the situation. Because
you were like,
here, I'll say this. In those situations where there is someone who like I admire in some way for whatever they've done, I want to get as far away from them as possible so they don't think I'm a fraud.
I know what you mean. Okay. I know what you mean, though. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, oh, we had an interaction from your car. You saw me. Now, Tom didn't beckon me. I assume he would not want to talk to me in most situations. But like, if Kim Deal, you know, beckoned me into a car, I would smile and wave and run as fast as possible from that so that she could not have a conversation with me and find out, she does not like me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but Tom Sharpling, I mean, he's, I don't know, like, I think that, I think if you're wearing, if I was wearing like a Pixies shirt, I would. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's complicated. But Tom Sharpling, he's so great. I love The Best Show, too.
Yes.
I love John Worster.
Yes.
John Worster, I actually, this is to tie in, when I was between marriages, I was,
you got married twice?
Well, it was, the second one wasn't a marriage, but it was sort of, it was one marriage, but then I was living with somebody, but then in between that, I was doing a show with Bob Mould, and then I was with Bob and John backstage, and I attempted to take John home with me, but I wasn't. I was like, "Let's just go." I just tried to take him with me in the car, and it wasn't any kind of like. There was no setup and no like romantic anything. I'm just like, "But let's just go." I'm just going to take you because it's time for us to just do it now, John. I believe it's time for us to just have a relationship. Of course, there's no energy of nothing, but I just think now just is the time. I've chosen you now.
Naomi, to translate for you, Bob Mould, Sugar. He was in a band called Sugar and Husker Du.
Okay.
John Worster, drummer for Superchunk.
I know because I know him from Yes.
And also drummer for Mountain Goats, drummer for Bob Mould.
And Bob Mould and Superchunk. And he's in a lot of new pornographer videos, and he is the co-host for The Best Show.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Sharpling and Worster.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
If you go to
that's it.
The Best Show collection thing over there.
I'm not going over there.
Okay. Sorry. You seem also like then a force of nature a little bit with like relationships.
With relationships, like,
I guess so. Because sometimes I just go, oh, let's have a relationship now. Of course, that didn't work with John Worster because he's just like, oh, no. That's all right. And then Bob was like, should I leave you guys alone? And I go, no. I just was going to try that out. I was just trying that out. It's okay. It's fine. I'm just going to go home. And then I moved in with somebody else anyway. It's fine. That didn't work out. But it was just a funny thing because, I mean, of course, I love John. And he's a good friend of mine. And, I think John Worster is like one of the, he's the most eligible indie rock bachelor around. But he's married to his drums. And he's married to comedy, I think. Also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But did you find like a lot of your relationships, will they start in a way where it's like you see a person, like you kind of, you're like, do you kind of know instantly if you're into somebody? Like, okay, I think I want to kiss you on the mouth. Like, do you feel it?
No. You know what happens? It's always different. It always is very unexpected, actually. And I think it's always something like, you never know. I think you really never know. It's always very, very different. When I was married, it was very different. And when I, the other relationships, I've always been different. The last sort of run of relationships that I had, and the one that I'm in now, is great. But the last sort of run of them, like, I had been single for a long time, and then I had never been on apps before. And then I started to do that. And that was, like, really amazing because there's such a world of them, you know, and there's so many people that are on them.
A lot of options.
So many options that I was like, I was actually finding it really exhausting.
Really?
And then people would message me and I was like, I don't want to go on any more dates.
Well, like, you were doing it for real. See, that's the thing.
I didn't like it.
Exactly. Like, I remember when I would do them from time to time, like, it was almost like, this is going to be my month of, like, going out on dates. Because it is, like, a job to, like, meet someone for the first time. It's all job interviews. So it's like, you can only kind of do that. Be like, this is my month where I'm going to go crazy. And then be like, okay, I can't. I got to go off. I got to be done.
Yeah.
It's like binge watching something.
Yeah. Binge watching people. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
Romantic binge watching.
Should we get to some questions, Andy?
Oh, yeah. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and answer some of your advice questions. We'll be right back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought, it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies' sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable?
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay, soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office. Okay, I need my layers. But I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right.
And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in Heather Gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
And we're back. We got Margaret Cho here to help you handle your scandal. So if you called in, if you wrote us, we gonna answer some questions.
All right. There
Margaret,
are.
There we are. Have the first one coming to us now.
There are a number of ways, by the way, you can get in touch with us. One of them is through DMing on any of the social networks.
But we also love the most when you leave us a voicemail. So you can always call us at 323-524-7839.
And we got a couple of voicemails for you today. Margaret, if you can't hear this, let me know. But this, okay. I like to start with a softball. So let's listen to this voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, Naomi and Andy. This is Maggie calling with a bit of a car/dog question. I'm a hero, and I help out an older lady who lives close to me by dropping off groceries and stuff for her. And recently, she has started helping take care of a cute little foster dog. And it's a big dog. It's like a lab kind of size. And I pulled up yesterday into her driveway, and the dog started jumping on the car, thinking I was the other lady who helps take care of this dog. And I didn't realize until I was leaving that the dog scratched the shit out of my car. And it's a lease. It's a little cute car that I really like. But it obviously was an accident. A dog didn't mean to do it on purpose. But should I tell this little lady that her dog done fucked up my car? Or should I just, like, take it in stride and get it buffed out and, like, take the hit? I feel very guilty making her feel bad about this this poor little pup. So, yeah, let me know what you think. Love you guys. Love the podcast. Smooches to Mabel. Bye.
Aww.
That's so
okay. So has
that sucks.
I know.
What does it take to buff it out? I mean, what is it? What does that mean? Like, what kind of scratches is it? Is it something that she can just physically do herself? Like, what is it? When is it? Is it like? I guess. What's the extent of the damage of?
Right. If she says buff though, because it's all about like when you scratch, right? Like how many layers of paint come off. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, if a dog's nails, like, no, when she says buff it, like, she'd have to go to the actual auto body shop, but it wouldn't be like when we scraped our car and they had to, like, repaint the whole thing.
Very nice of you to use the phrase we when it was me.
Well,
I went around a tight turn. So, look, I don't like driving. I drove from the ages of 16 to about 18, went to college, and then, like, only drove on vacations, all right? And then we move here to Los Angeles. I suddenly have to drive again. And everything is like a tight turn. They packed in so many cars in this stupid town. Everything's a tight turn. So I went around. We were parked on the roof of Petco. Yeah. In yes, folks, Hollywood. The Hollywood Petco.
Ooh.
And they had a parking lot on the roof with very tight turns. And I scratched the living shit out of the car. Immediately felt sweaty and panicky. Ooh.
Well, it was also, but then when you look back too, you saw on this little car, like on this little corner, the paint of so many cars. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those.
Where it's like,
do something. Do something with this. Yeah. Like, it's evil. But the that worst. Was expensive. But, like, when it's, like, a surface thing, it's not. I wouldn't say tell the lady. I wouldn't say tell the old lady to, like, make her pay for it.
That's my vote.
But she might need to know if the big-ass dog is, like, aggressive like that, right?
Yeah, just to know, like, what the dog's, like, kind of behavior is and what the dog's tendencies are. Like, if the dog has the tendency to jump or whatever. Just so she's aware. But not to sort of make the... Like, just to say, I'm not saying, like, just to, you know, also just to, like, you don't have to sugarcoat everything or make everything so soft for other people, you know, you don't have to make things like other people so that they don't know what real life is, you know, like, you should tell people the truth about what happens, but don't expect anything like... When you do favors for people or help people, they should know what you go through.
See, that's the vibe I get from you, Margaret, that you are like, you are forthright, no nonsense. You will tell someone, whereas I will cower and I will pace forever and like dither and figure out how I can avoid telling anyone anything.
I think I'm trying to get better at... Something I'm always afraid of people being mad at me. You know, like as general as that is, like don't be mad. But then you realize the extent to which mad is not the end of the world. And people can process their mad. You know, like I'm going to tell you something. It may not be fun. Go take a walk. Do what you need to do. You know, when I wouldn't let that happen. It was very like, well, how do I make it so that this person is not upset? Yeah. It's like, well... I'm learning, like, it took me a while to kind of realize, like, that's actually not my problem.
Yeah.
Their reaction.
But you're, like, the you're the only one that I can be, like, I can say things to.
I know, you too, which is why, like, and I think sometimes I go overboard. Like, I'm almost, like, so comfortable and or so safe that I can just tell you anything, and then I'll be, and then you'll be like, that was hurtful. And I'm like, okay, gotta scale it back. Gotta scale it back.
Wait, are you in relationships, Margaret? Are you able to be honest with people?
Yes.
Yeah. And you've very always much been like so. That? Yeah.
Not always. I mean, it's taken a while. I mean, I've gone to therapy. I've gone to different kinds of therapy. And I've also been hospitalized for a long time. I was institutionalized for a long time. So I think that when you have to like be like institutionalized, like when you're taken out of society for mental reasons, like for your mental health, then you like really come back into society and you like really learn how to behave so that you don't have to be put in a hospital again. So, you learn the hard way. But I also like think that like you know, I'm 51 and I have to like live right. And so there's a couple of things like I have a plan for living. Like I'm just trying to be happy now. And I've tried things a lot of different ways. And so it is hard. It's hard to be honest with people, but you can never control people's reaction to things and you can never control how people are going to be with you. So I just rather like mitigate the reactions of people by telling them how I feel and just see where the chips may lie.
Very mature, very healthy. What boundaries you have.
Yeah.
What boundaries?
I have a problem saying no in an email to like, I don't know, like a friend wanted me to like make a gift for them or something.
Well, I used to have a hard time saying no to shows, meaning like if I didn't want to do it, you know, because I think it also comes from like, you know, when you're starting out, when it's like stage time is the gift, you know, and like, and you also just, and then there's also the moments where it's like, I know I need to just be out there, like practice or do whatever. But then there also, then there's that flip side of like, knowing that, you know, no, that's not going to be a well-attended show, knowing it's a far away show, knowing it's an unpaid show, you know, any kind of combination of those things where it's like, ultimately, that's not what I want to do in my time right now. But I would always be so scared to say no. So then I would just not respond to the email, which is way worse. You might as well just.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to make those like boundaries. And but it's also important to know like what you feel good saying yes to and what you could say feel good saying no to. And, you know, that just makes it all easier in the long run.
Right. And knowing my favorite thing is like, no is a full sentence, you know,
that's
having
right.
to remember that I don't need to like, well, the thing is, I just, blah, blah, you know, like coming up with a reason. It's like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Just
that,
no.
That just plagues me.
Yeah. Well, they,
is this a good reason? Is it
exactly? Is this a reason that will make them not mad? It's like so psychotic. The point is, tell the old lady that the dog is cray. You pay to buff it out and your love will be fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I think.
That's great.
Exactly.
All right. This is another voicemail.
Hey guys, love you both. You're amazing. And here is my advice question. Famously, you're both sex negative and sex neutral, so this isn't really about sex, but more about orientation and coming out. So I've been with my partner for over a dozen years now. We've been married for half that time, and I'm feeling like I'm finally understanding that I'm bisexual, and I always thought that I was just very straight, but like, I appreciated women's bodies and I thought they were beautiful, but now I'm realizing that there is like an attraction there. And not that I would leave my husband for that or ask him to open a relationship or any of those things. Doesn't change that for me, but my question is, do I need to tell him that I'm feeling this way or that I finally understand this about myself? Would love your advice. Thanks so much. Bye.
A puzzler. We should. Oh, Margaret, you were about to talk.
I think it's not necessary to tell anybody yet, and in that you sort of have to figure out where you want to be sexually. Like, it's more like, is your sexuality for sharing or is your sexuality for just you? Like, where do you find your purpose as a sexual being? That's kind of more where your journey is going to begin. And sometimes sexuality, it's complicated, but it's because we complicate it. And bisexuality doesn't always mean open relationship. It doesn't always mean polyamory. And it also doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we close off our relationships too. And it doesn't always mean gay. It also doesn't always mean like what we sort of like think swinger lifestyle. So we have to sort of think of like, what does it mean to us to feel bisexual? And what does it mean? Do you want to act on it? Do you want to see, like, what do you think about when you think about sexuality and you think about your attraction to women? What is the ideal sexual situation? And, you know, it's and what your sexual situation with your partner is now, like, what does that look like? And what is that? Is it ideal or is it in existence? That's sort of what it sounds like to me, is that it seems like it doesn't exist. I don't know. I can't tell.
Yeah, I can't tell either. I mean, they seem very like confident in this idea that I'm not trying to end this relationship. I'm not like saying, like, you know, as you said, it sounds like early days. This person isn't like wanting to step out of their marriage, but it's just a question of like, how open do you need to be with your partner about like your inside feelings?
Well, how much?
Yeah, there's no right way.
Yeah.
I mean, I, you know, as a, I was going to say a dummy, but let's just say a cishet dude. I've never had to struggle with any of this stuff, and I'm curious about like the how kind of discovering that about yourself informs your identity. Do you come out of that as a different person? And if so, maybe that is like why you should inform your partner. If it changes who you are as a person, if learning that about yourself changes who you are as a person. Again, qualified asterisk, I'm a dummy.
Well, the truth is there is no right way to do it. There is no defined path. you know? And that's the plain truth of it, is that there is no right way. And she's asking if there is a right way. And there really isn't. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only your way. And your way is your right way. And and that's like the thing is that life is short. And you want the experience, you go get the experience. And if you don't feel like you need it, then you don't need it. But you if you feel this way, you should do something about it, you know? And I think that it's worth it. And it's really a great thing to do. But, you know, don't think that you have to do something because there's a right way and the wrong way.
You seem... When she mentioned, by the way, just so to fill you in, Naomi is sex negative. I am sex neutral. you, Margaret, seem sex positive.
Yes, very much so.
Is that like just being from the Bay Area where it seems a little
did
more...
Did San Francisco do it? Did San Francisco do it?
A little more
it?
Open?
But you grew up super... not super, but religious.
Yes, yes. Religious, but my parents owned a gay bookstore.
Oh, it was a gay bookstore.
Yeah, it was a gay bookstore. So they were trying to escape the confines of their own religious upbringing. So my grandparents ran the big gay, not the big gay church, but the big Christian Korean American church in San Francisco. But my parents ran the big gay bookstore in San Francisco. So that's my upbringing, is that those two sides. The gayness, I mean, I'm bisexual, so I think that, but I think that now I'm much more heteronormative in my expression, just because that's the relationship I'm in now. So yeah, I feel like very comfortable in my sexuality.
I didn't know I'd read somewhere that they owned a bookstore. I didn't realize it was a gay bookstore.
And I
was like, okay, so that's fun. You guys are really covering all the bases of San Francisco as a family. Really just kind of running it, you know?
We're turning it out. And I'm happy this year because I'm doing the Folsom Street Fair. I'm hosting it online, which is the big BDSM gay festival at the end of September. So it's all going to be online, which is crazy, but I'm thrilled to do it.
That'll be fun. That'll be real fun.
So wait, was it always like, were you always pretty aware? I don't want to, being sex neutral, being sex negative, I don't really, and I also don't want to put you on the spot to talk about anything you don't want to talk about.
She'll tell us if she doesn't.
But like, were you always pretty like comfortable in your sexuality?
Yes, I came out as a lesbian first as a teenager, and then I realized that I was actually bisexual a little bit later on, later in my teens, and then I kind of have gone between feeling more gay and more straight over time. And now I've sort of settled into more of a heteronormative feeling at this point. That's kind of stayed. I think longer relationships I've had have been with men, just because. I don't know why.
Yeah. There's no real interesting.
I think it's. I'm hoping that like the now that like as a society, or it seems like as a society, at least except for the most regressive parts, that people are acknowledging that sexuality is a spectrum. That also that will open up the door to understand that sexuality is also in some ways a process, right?
Yeah.
If not a process, maybe that's the bad word, a bad word for it. But like it is, you know, in Slaughterhouse Five, you know, how the, in that Kurt Vonnegut book, how there's the fifth dimensional beings and they see us as time worms. They see us our entire lives at once. That in some way that you can understand that sexuality is also, or like all the different kinds of things in our identities can shift over time.
They can time worm.
Yes, they can time worm. Let's do the time worm.
That's the time worm. Exactly. But also, I also feel this need to explain to Margaret when we say sex negative. It's just more like... I'm not that into it. Like, it's not other people's. It's not like I don't, I'm not, like, I'm not prude. I'm very much like, tell me your life and like all that and talking about it. I just feel like I don't have much of a drive, and so I call myself sex negative. But other people,
I mean, all the time,
I'm not negative.
Or is it like, is it just
in general
just not feeling
like in general, and like I don't know, like, and I don't know if it could have just been a weird relationship to it in the first place, because I do feel like I very much conflated sex with like attention, right? Like it was like, okay, if you. I know when we're having sex that you like me. So I would chase that, really. And then once I actually got a relationship where I was like, oh, I don't have to have sex with you to know you like me.
Yeah.
Then I realized, I was like, oh, then I don't really want to have sex.
Yeah. There's other, there's different kinds of like ways to be intimate that aren't necessarily like sex. You know, there's like different kinds of physical intimacy that is gratifying, that is sort of like, you know, I think really fun, that's not necessarily like sexual. Like there was this thing that this woman was coming over, we were doing pony play, which I was like, I'm not sure if this is sex, but I'm like, this is really fun, but I'm not like, but I'm like, this is like, how is this sex? But I'm like, this is kind of like, wow, you know. And we're like, where I was like, this is sex. Sex?
I'm just obsessed with the question mark. Sex?
Yeah. I think because like bro culture heteronormativity is so dominant here, if not like in the world, like everyone's idea of sex and intimacy is just B&V.
Right.
As opposed to like a entire grab bag of intimacies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many different kinds of sexual expression. Like, there was this guy who really liked to get, like, packed into, like, this vacuum bed, like a latex vacuum bed. And it would just, like, get, like all of the air sucked out. So, like, he was, like, a, you know, like a vacuum seal.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, like, he was at, like, a kielbasa at TJ's or wherever.
Yeah.
You know, at Sprouts or Erewhon. You know, where they would just vacuum out all of the air from the bag, and then he would just be shrink wrap. It was shrink wrap.
Wow.
And then that was it.
That was it.
And I'm like, okay. And I'm not sure where, but that was like his version of sex. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would be into that.
It was
not for like, me, but for someone else. Like if I had a partner who was like shrink wrap me, I'd be like, cool. I'm going to go watch a program or read a book while you shrink wrap.
Yeah. It's like really like, it's like very like, okay. I mean, and then there was like in San Francisco, there's, I guess when there's not a pandemic, there's like a human dog park. So you bring like your human puppy. And
I have
then
never
they
heard
run
of
around.
This in San Francisco.
Like a sub-dom type thing?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Do you have to be in the know to know that exists? I feel like that would be a thing like everyone would know about.
I guess so. I guess you would have to be someone in the know. And then you bring like your partner who's like in their dog collar and their, I don't know, their dog persona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they run around and it's like they can just play with other dogs in a human dog park.
Oh, wow.
And then there was another guy who I was dating a little bit, and he had a human cat.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, okay. But he was 27 and she was 55. And I was like,
okay.
Oh, and he was too young for me, but that was like, that was too young.
But wait.
So it was just the age thing. It wasn't the human cat that like.
No, that was fine. I was fine with him having a cat, but I'm like, you're too young for me.
Because I guess whatever provides intimacy, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, like why not?
Right. Unless they want to be hurt. You know, well, if it doesn't hurt anyone outside of.
Unless it's non-consensual.
Yeah, of course.
No. I mean, I think it's really, it's so there's lots of different things that people do that are not sexual, like that people that aren't sort of like P&V that are definitely like different, but I've seen. I think the weirdest thing I've ever seen was I used to go to this sex club in the 90s in North Hollywood that this guy had like this machine that he got at a veterinary office that would enlarge his penis to the size of a basketball.
What?
And he was like in his 70s, I think. And he was an entertainment lawyer. He also owned a junk, you know, a Chinese ship off of the coast of Santa Monica. But that was outside of the story. That had nothing to do with the fact that he would have enlarged his penis. He's probably dead now, but he still had a junk. And he would inflate his penis to it was a basketball size inside of this veterinary machine.
Yeah, that sounds so painful.
Then we would just sit in this bedroom thing, and it wasn't really a bedroom, it was his club, and we would just sit there, and we just talked to him. It was me and the publicist. I was dating the publicist from Dawson's Creek, I think.
Margaret!
Me and the publicist from Dawson's Creek would just sit there and talk to him, and with his enlarged penis, and we would just, I don't know, I think we were talking about like chocolate chip cookie recipes or something like that, and whether or not you could put potato chips in there. At that time, it was a very controversial issue about putting like a salty thing in
salt
a sweet
and sweet
thing.
Yeah. And that was the controversy.
That was a very controversial thing.
And but yeah, that was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen, was somebody enlarging, you know, a penis pump.
Like, I didn't even know the body could do that, like go that big. Like I'm like, because when you say it, I imagine it like bursting, which obviously didn't happen.
Oh,
but I just can't imagine.
What I'm imagining is Big Trouble in Little China towards the end. The one guy like takes in all this air and then explodes.
But that's not what happened. But he was just hanging out, comfortable.
I think it was like a gradual suction. That it was like gradual over several hours that it would finally get to that large state.
It's amazing what the body can do.
It's incredible.
It's like really like I am blown away, and now I want to find this online.
Yeah.
To see how it works.
I don't show it to me.
I won't. That's my time.
Margaret, thank you for joining us.
Margaret,
thank you
so much for doing the pod, for talking to us.
Thank you.
What a delight, even with the penis imagery at the end.
He was fine. That's why I'm okay with it, right? Like if he's doing fine, like I just like I'm more like very interested in it scientifically. Anyway, Margaret, you're the greatest. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Truly.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.